its splendor, grasp it, sense it, tremulous and tender.
It's 10:37 on WGN, Dean Richards Sunday Morning on our Week in Theater segment. We start off today with probably the signature song of the longest running show ever on Broadway, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera. And now the sequel to Phantom of the Opera has come to Chicago, called Love Never Dies, that we saw, the opening was the other night at the Cadillac Palace Theater in Chicago. And this is just one of those old-fashioned, big, bold, nothing held back kind of musicals. Very much like shows like you don't see on stage anymore. Just so wonderful and just dripping with the signature of Andrew Lloyd Webber. He co-wrote the music for this one as well. We really enjoyed it. The performances, the staging, everything, just really so top-notch. But we're especially proud because there is so much Chicago talent featured in this show, including the actress who plays Christine, Megan Pacherno, who is from Lyons Township. I know that because just about every relative that you had on opening night, Megan, during intermission, every relative came up to me to make sure that I knew that you were, from the Chicago area.
Oh, yeah. Proud Midwesterners.
So welcome. Welcome back home.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
We'll talk about that in a second. But also, there's Karen Mason, who is a Chicago theater legend, as far as I'm concerned. She's great. But the young man that we really want to point out is Casey Lyons. He's 13 years old and in many ways steals the show, in my opinion. And not just my opinion, just about anyone who has seen this is completely blown away by his performance. What I have been calling the voice of an angel in the show. Beautiful, beautiful voice. And such, you'll probably agree with me, Megan, on this.
Oh, he's stunning.
The stage presence of this young man and the theatricality of him. It's like an adult, right? Am I right on that?
Yeah, I was like, how old is everybody here? I was like, when I was your age, I feel like I was playing with sand looking up at the sky. it's incredible. Yeah. I mean, really, like, beyond your years.
Yeah, I can't tell you the number of times I thought, what was I doing when I was 13?
I couldn't tell you.
I'm a complete loser compared to this young man.
You're a rock star.
We're going to let him talk also. Yeah. Just crazy. Casey, welcome here, my friend. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Full disclosure, and I hate to keep bringing this up because I don't want this to seem like the reason that we're praising this all these words on Casey is because, just for full disclosure, he is the son of the news director at WGN-TV, my boss over on the TV side, Jennifer Lyons. And since Casey was a very little performer, his mom would come in and say, Casey's in community theater. Casey's doing this. Casey's at the Drury Lane. Casey's at the Mercury Theater. She would tell me about all the different things that you were doing. And look at you now. You're in a big national touring show. What does that feel like for you? Because really, it wasn't that long ago that you were performing up in Cary, where you grew up. And out in the suburbs.
It was really just a dream for this because it's an Andrew Lloyd Webber show. It's iconic, and I get to work with all these amazing people, such as Megan.
I'll pay you for that one later. Yeah. Thanks, Jen.
You're welcome.
I'm telling you, he's 40 years old. I think he is secretly 40 years old.
But yeah, it's just really been an incredible, incredible journey and a great, I've been really blessed to have this opportunity to do all this amazing, amazing stuff.
Talk a little about your coming to this point in your career. Did you just always love musical theater and music, and is that what started with you?
I've always loved it, and I think it's because I've had musicals in my house for a while now. You know, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Mary Poppins, all the classic
ones. All the movies, yeah.
All the movies. And I just think that it's always something that I've really wanted to do. And so I did it.
Yeah. So you, I mean, would tell your parents, I'm going to go sing with this choir. I want to be in this community theater like that. Is that how it worked?
Yeah, that's how it worked. And then I did a camp. I actually asked my mom to join a choir, and then all of a sudden I was doing Oliver at the Woodstock Opera House, and then I joined a camp at Drury Lane, which kind of propelled me into do other things, and that was really an incredible experience.
What have been some of the favorite shows that you've been in? Because I've seen you a few times on stage, and each time completely blown away by you.
You seem
so, Megan, doesn't he? He's so comfortable on stage. He's so relaxed on stage.
Oh, yeah. We were told that we were all handpicked to be in the show, and it's true.
By
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, that's right.
So we were all handpicked, and there's a reason. I mean, it's really incredible to be up on stage with you. And
agreed.
And our partners. Okay. Like, we're all scene partners. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you are 13 going on 45. I don't know how this happened, but
thank you.
Like, no, but really, I mean, so professional. And so it seems like you've been on, I mean, you were born for the stage, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were.
You were too.
Oh, thank you.
It's very true. I mean, what you did, Hazel, right?
Yes,
Hazel. Musical. Was that at the Drury Lane?
That was at the Drury Lane, yes.
The Drury Lane. And what else? You did, Mary. You were telling me the other day
that you're
such a fan of the movie Mary Poppins, but then you got to be in it.
Yeah, I was. That was kind of another fun thing to do, because I had always grown up watching the movie, and I really love Mary Poppins. And so when I got the audition for it, I was ecstatic, because it was like, Mary Poppins, you know what I mean? Because I've watched the movie several times.
Yeah.
And it was just a really fun experience for me.
Yeah. What was your reaction when you heard that Andrew Lloyd Webber was interested in you being in the show? If you screamed like that for Mary Poppins, I'm thinking there was a pretty good scream.
It was a crazy scream. Yeah. I was actually, it was last year, or not last year, what am I saying? I was on the car on the way home from school, from the last day of school, and my mom called me and said, we have some celebrating to do. And I thought, okay, it's because of the last day of school and stuff. And she kind of gave it a pause and then started talking about Love Never Dies. And then that kind of propelled it forwards. And my brother got the whole thing on video, which was kind of funny, because I knew that something was up when he started videotaping me. But that was kind of, I was crazy. That was incredible.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Megan, how about for you? How did this all start for you now? Because you've appeared all over the world.
Yeah.
Now, well, I mean, your career is quite amazing, but it did start here in the Chicago area. Right?
It did. I mean, I always did, like a musical in high school, but I didn't really get serious about music truly, until, well, grad school, honestly. I mean, before that, too, obviously. I studied in Vienna, and I studied opera. I'm from the opera world. But this, my world kind of sort of turned on its head a little bit in the best way possible. Also, last January, I was in Candide with New York City Opera, and Hal Prince directed me, who's now one of my mentors.
Wow.
And and Pat Birch was choreographer. She's my fairy godmother now. And again, I never lost touch with the music theater community per se, but I've been living in the opera world. And
right.
They were like, well, would you ever do Broadway? And I was like, well, yeah, why not? And so, and I remember
let me think about that. Yes.
Yes, yes. You don't say no to that. And I remember Hal was like, have you seen Phantom of the Opera? And I was like, no, I haven't, not yet.
Yeah.
I know it. I obviously know it.
Yeah.
But, and he's like, I'm going to get you tickets. So he got me tickets to Phantom, which I loved, of course. There's no mistake why. It's
fair amount of success for the show.
Fair amount. You know, fair. Only 30 years on Broadway. And I saw it. I loved it. And then about a week later, I was brought in to audition for Love Never Dies. And then my audition process was kind of crazy. Shortly after that, I sang for Andrew Lloyd Webber in the morning, and I was cast that afternoon. It was like, ba-boom. And I was so excited, because for me, I don't always get to speak to living composers. So
yeah.
Especially
like maybe the living composer.
Exactly. He's such a brilliant mind and iconic musical genius of our time. And Casey and I, amongst our castmates, get to perform this beautiful piece for the first time ever in America. I mean, this is really, it's not just a national tour.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's the first time.
It hasn't been on Broadway yet. It's been in other parts of the world, but it was supposed to go to Broadway, didn't. and instead is doing this North American tour now.
I think, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I love that first because, you know, lots of great pieces go through rewrites and, you know, different incarnations, and they find what works and what they need to change, et cetera, et cetera. And what I love is that we're bringing it to America. It's set in America. So we're bringing it to Americans for the first time, and we're bringing it to their home first. And obviously we all hope, we do hope that it goes to Broadway in this new form that is happening. But I love that we get to perform in all these different cultures. And something that I have found, I don't know, Casey, maybe you'll agree with me, but no matter if we're in the South, the Midwest, the Northeast, audiences are loving this show. I mean, my barometer for when I'm performing is the audience. And audience members, no matter the culture, they just die for the show. Yeah. They love it.
Yeah,
and
it's got to be really...
it's amazing.
So useful to be touring this around the country and getting feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine you're getting notes from the director and producers along the way, probably tweaking things a little bit along the way as well. But to be able to get that amazing feedback from people.
It's incredible. Yeah. And you learn a lot. You know, I mean, like, art is always changing and it's always growing and it's always developing into something new. I know that I feel like our characters, and as you get to know the cast better too, like, I mean, really, I feel like you're stage mom. I mean, like, you know, like you really develop these relationships with people.
Personal relationships. Sure.
Yes. And on stage. Yeah. And it grows. I'm not the same Christine I was even a couple months ago, which is exciting. I mean, I'm, you know, from the opera world, we've done, 125 shows or something? That's like someone's role career in the opera world.
That's
but
amazing,
it's amazing. So, but I can tell you, it's always fresh. The show that we had on opening night was not the show we had even on Saturday. It's amazing.
It's always tweaking a little.
Always tweaking.
Let me take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the show a little bit so people understand how Andrew Lloyd Webber has taken this classic show of Phantom of the Opera, now set 10 years later, and what happens and who you guys are and who's who and what's what. We've got a couple of the stars of Love Never Dies in with us. WGM, one of the signature songs from the Andrew Lloyd Webber sequel to Phantom of the Opera, Love Never Dies. And in studio with us this morning, 13-year-old Casey Lyons and Megan Paterno from the show. Two Chicagoans from the Chicago area, part of the cast that's in town. Now, explain your characters. You are mother and son, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mother and son.
Yes.
Want to take this one first, kiddo?
Sure. So, Gustav is Christine's son, and he's really excited because he's coming to America for the first time, and he sees all these new things, all these new, he's having all these new adventures, especially with his mother. And I think through his experience in America and with his mom, he really understands more about life and love, basically, and how to see the beauty underneath is one of the big things. And it's just a really fun role to play, I think.
Yeah. Now, Christine, we knew from Phantom of the Opera.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one and only person who accepted the Phantom himself, the disfigured Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
You thought that he was, Christine, thought that he was had passed away. And you learn when you come to America that he has not.
Yes, indeed. You know, I have to say it's very interesting character. So we find her 10 years later. She's 28. She's married with a son, Gustav. She's a famous opera star. She's also in a marriage that's strange, to say the least. And I find all of those things just right there actually very interesting. I mean, it is turn of the century, so I find her to be very strong. She can't be as strong as in the way that I am or women are in 2018, but I find her very strong. I mean, she's a working mother who's making the money now for the family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite iconic right there.
A lot of people said that, you know, the Christine character with the Me Too movement that's going on now, you know, that it's not appropriate. Well, it's set at 100 years ago.
Exactly.
And it's a different, yeah, it's a different time. So
it's true. And that's when I was, when I was really diving into the character, you know, I mean, there are things that sometimes you judge a character based on your own experiences. And then you have to think, well, she's in the constraints of a society that's not ours right now at this moment, but she's still making the strongest decisions, I think, that she can during that time period, you know. And I think personally, for me, it's a lot of it has to do with her son and what is best for Gustav. What can she do? And like you said, there's a person that for me is her soulmate and is one of that kind of primal passionate love that you can't deny. She thought he was done, gone, literally dead, and all of a sudden is back in her life. So also where the story takes place in that time period, it's the pin has been dropped at a very intense time for the entire characters, I think. I mean, I think all of us can relate to a small level of someone that you loved that disappeared from your life, and now suddenly they want to come back in your life. What does that feel like? You know, what does it feel like to be in a relationship that you think you should be in or have to be in for whatever reason, but
just
you don't
having
want
to make a choice?
Yeah, exactly.
Any kind of a choice in that sense, I think it's really so relatable.
Yeah.
The thing that struck me most when I was at opening night were the performances here. I mean, you're all amazing. You're all stunning. Such beautiful voices. I mean, goosebump rendering performances with this, including Gardar Thor Cortez, who plays the Phantom in this show. He opens the show. He sings throughout the show as the Phantom and is also quite amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, truly, like, the entire cast is the skill set. And I really do feel truly blessed to be on stage with these incredible performers.
Definitely.
And not just singers, but actors. I mean, consummate actors. I mean, it's really amazing on stage every day to have the pleasure to interact with them. Also, Sean, Karen, Mary Michael. I mean, literally everyone is just, the talent level is insane. It's amazing.
It's crazy high.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's crazy high in the show. Yeah, and the production value, too.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I mean, when you
beautiful.
Go when you go to the theater, you want sets moving and, like, the whole world is moving around you. It's something so special.
It really is.
And that's what the show provides. So thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Do you want a shout out to, you have to acknowledge all your relatives.
All right,
who are probably listening this
week. That's right. All right. All you Paternos, Caravas, oh gosh, everybody, Mom, Dad, Nick, love you guys. I'll see you again on March 3rd. Love you guys.
Casey, how about for you? Who do you want to say hello to?
All the family.
We could spend like just a half an hour just on your siblings. Casey has five brothers and sisters.
We definitely could.
Yeah.
But just everybody that supported me.
It was so cool. Your brothers and sisters were at opening night and so happy for you and so supportive, which was so cool. But you've been on the road now for a while. This national tour has been on the road for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Casey's classmates from where you used to go to school in Cary, Illinois, surprised you on opening night, right?
That was crazy.
Talk about that, because that was a show itself, just watching your face, because you didn't know that they were going to be there.
That was crazy. I didn't. I legitimately thought it was going to be only a couple people, and then all of a sudden, like, my whole grade from SSPP, St. Peter Paul, in Cary was there, and it was incredible. Got to take pictures of them. I haven't talked to them in so long, and it was just so fun to see them again.
Yeah, you could. I could see how delighted you were to see them. Oh, so surprised.
It was amazing.
But you could see how happy they were for their friend Casey. At the same time, it was great. Casey, thank you for coming in. I'm sure you're pretty sick
thank
of
me
by now.
Me. Not at all.
We had him on the TV. He's like, oh, do I got to get talk to the bald guy again? Oh, my God. Not again. Casey, thank you. And
thank
continued
you.
Great success. And Megan, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yes,
for
thank
coming
you
in.
Us.
Any of Megan's relatives who want to contact me, feel as if they haven't already, feel free. Megan Paterno, Casey Lyons, a quick break, and we update news next.